Welcome to our Saturday conversation, Saturday simulcast, I should say, and the Boilermakers, right after the Boilermakers 40-29 win over number 5 Michigan State in what was really a, in some ways, historic, pretty momentous day in Ross-Age Stadium late afternoon on a perfect late fall, or I guess it's mid-fall afternoon. But I want to thank our sponsor, the Union Club Hotel, Boiler Up Bar. I had an opportunity to meet somebody there last night. It was kind of a festive atmosphere, to say the least, for a big college football game. Purdue ends up selling out the game today, which I stand corrected on so many fronts. I said, no, they're not going to sell 8,000 or 9,000 tickets this week. They did, and put 57,000 in there. So I'll start with you, Tom. You know, this was hard to minimize, and not that we want to minimize anything, but Purdue wins 40-29 in a game that we talked offline here before that really Purdue was in control of this thing pretty much from the entire contest, and did so many things that you have to get your attention. It's kind of hard to know where to start. I mean, first of which, you know, you're 21-7, you're ahead, they catch you, and then you just come right back after them, and Purdue just stayed aggressive, was aggressive the entire game, and won the game in relative terms with relative ease. So, how do you put this into words, Tom?
Yeah, a lot to wrap your head and your arms around, right, guys? Where to start, Alan? Yeah, Purdue, I agree with you. They really were in control from start to finish. Never felt like they were in peril. Although, when Michigan State cut it to 8 late, big drive for Purdue, obviously, and they kicked another field goal. But still, at that point, I had some unease. But, again, from start to finish, the coaches have to be very pleased. And I guess if I got to start anywhere, it's got to be with the offense, right? I know we've talked defense all year, and certainly the defense did its part today, right? But 594 yards of offense, guys. Aiden O'Connell, you know, pinball machine numbers. I wrote something this week in the 3-2-1 where I sort of opined if maybe the best was yet to come for this offense, and certainly looked today like that was the case. The ground game was good enough. Jeff Rom talked about that in the post game. But again, Aiden O'Connell, guys, for 2 weeks in a row now, off the charts, 75% completion rate, on the mark, no turnovers. And David Bell, we finally saw the David Bell at Iowa City reemerge with another huge game, guys. Maybe we'll see co-offensive players of the week this year, and you know, O'Connell and Bell. I don't know who you could pick between those two. I think we'll see Purdue back in the poll this week, don't you guys? Don't you think, guys? Yeah. Whatever that's worth. It's always nice to have that number.
Probably nothing for Purdue, but yeah.
Yeah, but still, just again, offensive, that's where I have to start, guys. O'Connell, Bell, and I tell you what, the other individual, Brian and I talked in the box a little bit, too, about Garrett Miller.
Yeah,
real coming out party for this redshirt sophomore tight end tonight.
You know, you look at this game, it's historic in numbers, about the most yards in total offense in the Brom era. Mm-hmm. Aiden O'Connell, the third best passing performance in the history of Purdue football. David Bell, he now has the number two and number five performances of all time. Just extremely impressive from that standpoint. You know, Brian, Jeff Rom, did he call a perfect game? I mean, this guy's all of a sudden he's got the opposition on its heels. Purdue seems just to have the upper hand from a play calling standpoint. Purdue seems to be getting itself in positions to have success. Obviously, your quarterback's got to make good decisions, but Jeff Rom seems to be making a lot of golden decisions on the sideline.
Yeah, he's been pushing all the right buttons here the last couple of weeks. I think this was the best they've executed their screen game. I think that's really important to this offense because you have to do things to overcome, you know, some of the things that showed up early in the season in terms of your ability to protect the deep drops and things like that. He's done a really good job keeping defenses on their heels. He's done a really good job scheming a running game. He's done a really good job with his design of this offense. I just think conceptually he's doing everything right now. And everything looks better when the quarterback plays well and the receivers catch the ball. And today was as good a quarterback game as Purdue's had in years. And that's largely on Aiden O'Connell for the most part. But I think that's also, you know, Jeff Brohm doing a good job putting him in positions to be successful here. And I just think he's done a masterclass type of job here offensively the last couple of weeks.
And, you know, you look at, too, just in the coaching job in general, again, that defense has been good enough. It was, you know, Michigan State got its share of yards today, and you would expect that. Kenneth Walker had got close to 150, but I thought 150 was kind of that number that you kept him under 150. And he, you know, and he really was at about 117 till he had a long run with the Spartans on their last touchdown run. But, you know, all those things are happening. And then you find a guy like Jackson Anthrop, Tom, that just, yeah. You know, what the heck is this? This guy is just making plays. I thought that, and you know, they haven't seen many trick plays all season. They haven't seen many trick plays in the last 3 years, in all honesty, that have worked. And then he pulls one out of the bag, Jeff Brohm does, in the most – really one of the great plays of the season, and one of the better plays you've seen in Ross-Ade Stadium, when Anthrop makes the play on the flea flicker deluxe and then takes it to the house. I mean, that's just – was pretty nutty. And you knew at that point things were going to look pretty good for Purdue.
Yeah, remember when this offense was stuck on scoring 13 points every game?
Yeah, right.
It's like ancient history, but you're right. In a game filled with many big plays, Alan, I think maybe the one you're referring to with Anthrop on that screen that went 39 yards for a touchdown may have been maybe the signature play of the game. Sort of the spark that we've seen from Jeff Brohm in the past. And, you know, he talked in the post game about that very play and said it's kind of a funny story. Said he stole it from a YouTube video from a high school team. And I asked Aiden O'Connell after the game about that play too, and he says the last time, as far as his recollection goes, they hadn't run it since the 2019 Illinois game when it was raining.
Yeah,
he says it's always been in their playbook since he's been on campus. So yeah, a lot of fun, you know, the handoff, and then of course Anthrop slipping off into the flat for that screen and cutting across the field for the touchdown. Got a good block from David Bell too. Was a lot of fun, really energized that crowd. And guys, I was talking to some other people after the game, just to see a guy like Jackson Anthrop rewarded for all the work he's put in for 5+ years here and stuck with it. Guys have passed him on the depth chart, stuck with it, fought through injuries. And to see these last two games in particular, the success he's had, how he's going to finish his career with a flurry, it's just sort of nice to see a payoff for a guy like that.
Now, Brian, one of the things when you win – do something you haven't done since 1960, this beat two top five teams in the same season. But put that in perspective, you know, you cover recruiting and also just the foundation of the program and the ability to give it that stability and moving forward, you know, you can, no matter what happens the rest of the season, you're going to be able to tell people, hey, you know, we did something like this. We were the talk of the college football world in some ways for 2 weeks in from October on.
Yeah.
That's got to be hard. Again, something that's going to pay dividends for this program, one would think, down the road.
Yeah. Before I talk about that, I just want to mention one offensive player we haven't mentioned yet, Milton Wright.
Yeah.
Just what he did in this game, I think, is so easily overlooked. But that third down conversion he picked up at the end to basically put the game away, that was just an individual effort play, a supreme effort. His block where he sprinted the field to throw that last block for Jackson Anthrop to score on that trick play, supreme effort. You know, he has not dropped a ball that I know of since he had those issues early in the season. He is really, really become an important player for Purdue, and I thought he was great today. To your point about, you know, having these two really memorable wins, this win just secured this season, you know, in the history of Purdue football, as being one that fans will remember for a very long time, because decades from now, if this ever happens again, where you beat two top five teams in the same season, this will be the season that gets referred back to. But when you're Purdue, especially after the last two seasons, what you're always striving for is relevance. You're always striving for people to be talking about you, to know who you are, and just to be conscious of Purdue. That's recruits, that's national attention, all of that stuff. And what defined the first couple seasons to me under Jeff Brohm was that ability one way or another to always stay relevant, to always have those moments that had people talking about Purdue, to keep that momentum stoked. Every time maybe it dipped a little bit, they did something the next week to keep things moving forward, to keep building inertia. And that's what stopped the last 2 years. Now, here you go. You've beaten two top five teams in X number of games. You have two NFL players on your roster. David Bell has become an elite player. I don't know if he'll be in, he won't be in the Heisman conversation, I don't think, yet, but if Purdue, you know, had a different record or something like that, and I don't see anything David Bell could be doing right now more than what he's doing right now. George Karlaftis has had an unbelievable season. Those guys are going to, you know, probably be prominently featured on ESPN come the spring. And that will be something else for Purdue's program that will put it top of mind for a lot of people. And that's what's so important about all of this, is just staying relevant, keeping the momentum moving forward. And there's no better way to do it than to win a huge game on national television and completely muck up the college football playoff to a certain extent. That's how you do it when you're a Purdue. You mess up other people's stuff, to put that as non-profane as I possibly can.
You did a fine job. Fine job. You know, two sellouts.
Thinking of a Warren Zevon song right now.
Yeah, you had a big, big crowd, you know, and like I said, to be able to do that, you rush the field. That doesn't happen every day. I know it's happened, and it happened in 2018, the Tyler Trent game. But you have just a game full of memories where Jeff Brohm and Aidan O'Connell and David Bell, and all the way on down the line, all of a sudden people are starting to get to that attention, and deservedly so. I mean, these guys have done the, you know, just think about our Saturday simulcast on the the 2nd of October. And where we were at that point after Purdue lost to Minnesota, even on the 23rd of October, after Purdue got hammered by, you know, got hammered pretty well by Wisconsin, things can change. And like Brian said, it's hard to put it into words about just what this means to this program moving forward. Yeah. All right. Now you've got an interesting path, three games left in the regular season, Ohio State next week. I think we talked about the fact that Purdue will probably be a 12-ish point underdog. We'll see. We're probably not allowed to talk about Purdue beating this third top five team. It would be the first time in the history of the program. That would be a monumental upset. But Purdue still has a lot to play for. And even in a game next week, you want to go out there and give yourself a chance to be competitive against Ohio State, but also you just take care of business against Northwestern and Indiana, and you're going to have an 8-win season. And 8-win seasons don't come around here all that often.
Yeah.
Tom, what do you mean? Is that, how do you view that in terms of what Purdue has to play for here for over the next 3 weeks?
Yeah. You know, we talked to Jerry Palm this week about polls, and everything seems to always point back to the 2007 season. Whenever I'm looking stuff up, last time Purdue won 8 games, guys,
yeah,
was 2007. Last time Purdue was bowl eligible for the IU game was to the 2007 season. The last time Purdue was ranked is the 2007 season. So, this is a season that's, I guess, at least in recent history, is awakening some echoes, if you will. And, you know, Jeff Brohm didn't want to talk about any of that stuff in the postgame, as you would imagine.
Yeah. So
he brought up bowl eligibility, and, of course, he deferred to that, said that's for the fans. They've got, you know, he went into his coach speak from there. But we love to speculate and have conjecture and wonder aloud what's around the corner, where could this season end up, guys, in Phoenix, Las Vegas, New York, maybe the Outback Bowl, best case scenario. Who knows, though? But again, we know Purdue's going bowling for the first time since 2018. And like you talked about, Alan, 8-4 does not look like a record that's out of reach for these guys. After, of course, Ohio State, you talked about the Northwestern game in Wrigley Field. Then, of course, the finale at home against IU on the 27th. Chance to get the bucket back and maybe get, who knows, maybe win number 8 on that date, too. So, yeah, just, you know, a season that's turning out to be very pleasantly surprising. I think we thought 6-6. Sure, that was possible. 7-5, maybe. Here we are, guys, talking about a possible 8-win season. So, yeah, just a lot of excitement. You know, it's funny, guys, as the team has gotten better as the season's gone along, and a lot of that has to do with the team getting a little healthier, too, I think. And they certainly seem to be hitting their stride here down the stretch, which is perfect.
Yeah, Garrett Miller today was still one of the great catches that won on the sideline. My gosh. I mean,
yeah, no doubt.
How he kept that thing, it was one of the best catches I've seen in a while. But, you know, and Brian, I thought of you because you always talked about that catch that David Bell made at Illinois last year when things were starting to crash in. And he made a play very similar to that today from the two-yard line where he kind of goes over his shoulder and O'Connell put it in the right place. There were just so many passes that O'Connell made today too. I thought the long one to Brock Thompson, or not the long one, but the timing pass in the corner of the end zone early on was just a thing of beauty if you were like watching a good pass. So, you know, maybe Brian, when you look at a guy like Aiden O'Connell, we've had our discussions about how good Purdue's quarterbacking has been, or if it hasn't been quite good enough. Today, it was good enough. And if you can keep doing it at this level, you're going to be competitive. I mean, maybe you're not going to have 500-yard games every week. I get that. But this is an example of what that when you have great quarterbacking, you can be really good.
Yeah, this is why I always harp on the quarterbacks, is that Purdue
historically
can win games like this when its quarterbacks are great. You know, Purdue historically struggles, you know, on a big stage when its quarterbacks, you know, aren't so good. It's a quarterback school, you know, and today Aiden O'Connell was good as anybody, you know, who's come through here. And obviously there have been some really good ones, but I think, you know, part of that is Jeff Brohm's gotten to a place here where I think they're in a real comfort zone offensively. I mentioned before some of the things that are working now that weren't working a couple weeks ago. I think schematically they're protecting the passer better than they were earlier in the season.
Yes.
I think the offensive line is playing a little bit better than they were before. You know, that
it, I agree.
One of the limitations on Purdue's offensive line has been executing the screen game because those guys, you know, don't always get to their spots as quickly as you'd like. But lately they've been really good doing that. Today they were excellent at doing that. This was the best Purdue's run screens all game long. You have opened up a little bit of balance here in terms of the running game, and I think you've given defenses a lot more to think about than maybe a couple weeks ago where you just had to throw the ball vertically and you could let defenses just defend you to throw the ball down the field and you couldn't really make them pay as well as you could. But I think he's done a really good job drawing stuff up for Jackson Anthrop. I think he's done a really good job scheming a running game. They've run so many formations. They've used so much, you know, pre-snap motion, all that stuff you do to manipulate a defense. I think he's just in a real comfort zone right now from an offensive perspective. And, you know, obviously you could run into a Wisconsin again. You could very, very likely run into a great defense against Ohio State next week and things could reverse on you real quick. But as of right now, I think he's pushing all the right buttons offensively. And obviously, you know, we've been talking all year about how good Purdue's defense has been relative to not just relative to expectation. We can take that qualifier off here, but how just good they've been, period. I think Brad Lambert, you know, was a coup of a hire for Purdue as it's turned out. I think Jeff Brohm's doing a great job on offense right now. I think Brad Lambert's doing a great job on defense. And I think a lot of things are coming together right now for this Purdue team.
Yeah, that's what's going to be an interesting storyline to watch. One last question about, you know, interesting about playing to win. And again, we talked about how Jeff Brohm said in the offseason, you know, I've got to change. And some of the changes he made about just being aggressive, even putting Austin Burton and Jack Plummer, which I wasn't real gung-ho about that idea at the time. I just said, I'm not sure I'm going to mess up. But and it didn't pay. Well, it did. The Plummer's option worked really pretty well. But that's an interesting message and maybe a message to your team that we've got confidence in what we're doing. And that seems to be a storyline that they keep bringing to the table, Tom.
Yeah, it's a nice wrinkle to keep in the offense. Those guys have something to bring to the table and, you know, keeps them engaged. As Jeff Brohm has said, and again, it gives defenses something else to worry about. Those guys can make plays as runners and passers, so why not, right? Why not mix them in with Jackson Anthrop, Horvath, Daru, et al. When it comes to trying to manufacture that ground game, as Brian always likes to say. You know, last week we talked, too, a lot about ball control, right? Well, that continued again today.
Yeah.
Purdue, 85 plays. Michigan State, 63. Time of possession, 35 minutes for Purdue, 24 for Michigan State. So Purdue kept it away once again, mostly with their passing game. And real quick on the defense, guys, you know, I thought Jack Sullivan, Brian and I talked
about. Yeah, it's terrific.
number 99 today was terrific. We spoke to him after the game. Jalen Alexander, Kieran Douglas, guys, a real underrated blue collar linebacker, had a nice game today as well. And how about this? Two more takeaways, right? So that's 12 takeaways in the last four games, I believe. And again, they keep coming in. You know, Brian talked to Dedrick Mackey after the game, who had that pick. And yeah, again, the defense, yeah, the numbers, you know, Michigan State averaged 7 yards a play, but still the defense got their takeaways, made some big stops, a lot to like there. And again, like I said, offensively too, really controlled the ball. Again, one my last point offensively, guys, was just from a negative standpoint, was the red zone late where they kept kicking field goals.
Kept kicking field goals.
Jeff Rom said after the game, he thought maybe he got a little conservative there at that juncture, had a lead, maybe didn't want to take a chance. But again, boy, you would like to see Purdue cash in a couple of those into 6 points instead of settling for three. And I'm not hurting them, but still, that's always been a concern for this offense. It's buzzed over it all season long, is that red zone touchdown production.
But 40 points, and I was going to say, and Brian, I'll give you the last word, but 40 points still at the end of the day, pretty good production. But yes, you're absolutely right. That still is playing with
40 points. That could have been 56.
Yeah.
Against Michigan State. You know, I think what you're seeing here too is how productive a healthy relationship between an offense and a defense can be. I don't necessarily mean like a relationship, but I mean when the offense is moving the ball, you give the defense a chance to stay on the sideline for a while. When you have a lead, as Purdue's had the last couple of weeks, and then at Iowa too, you take some pressure off that defense where every snap's not life and death. And I think Purdue's offense or defensive improvement at halftime the last couple of weeks, there's probably something to that. When the offense is moving the ball, the defense is less likely to wear down after halftime, but they're also playing with a lead. And that allows you to be more aggressive. That allows you to have some margin for error. And I think earlier in the season when the defense was playing well, but the offense wasn't holding up its end of the bargain, every possession for the opponent was life and death, because you knew that if the defense gave up a big play, then you didn't know if the offense could go out and get it back. Now, I have to imagine from a psychological perspective that defense is in a really good place right now, now that the offense has really, really picked things up here the last couple of weeks.
All right. Well, there's a lot to talk about. There'll be a lot to analyze tomorrow, Sunday on the site, as well as we take a long review of this game. All right. And Brian, we made a pact that we weren't going to talk about Purdue beating Ohio State next week, but if they would happen to do that, it would be the first time since 1988. And Ernie Schrummeyer, Tom remembers Ernie Schrummeyer.
At that game.
Yeah. During that game at, it's going to take that type of effort to make that a four-quarter game. But good Purdue, I will say this, no matter what happens next week, Purdue's in a good position and just in a good position to take a step forward as a program. And we've seen that throughout the month of October.
So what I think you want to see kind of moving forward, is, you know, consistency has never been Purdue's thing here the last few
years. Correct.
And you just like to play well. You just like to put your best foot forward. If you lose to a great team at their place, so be it. But, you know, it a few years back when you beat Ohio State, you went to Michigan State the next week and lost to Rocky Lombardi. We don't even call them Michigan State anymore. We just call them Rocky Lombardi in reference to that game. And then you go up to Minnesota a few weeks after that. It's just
get killed.
The highs and lows have been so dizzying. But that's what's so, I think, encouraging from Purdue's perspective about the fact that you built on success against Nebraska and have done this 2 weeks in a row now. And that gives you credible reason to believe that you are getting better and you are in a position now to go to Ohio State and at least represent yourself well. And you're in a great position to, you know, beat some of these particularly beatable teams left on the schedule. Sorry, I'm choking on my own saliva.
That's all right. Tom, now you get the last.
Tom wanted to say something.
First time they've had back-to-back wins since game one and two, Oregon State. UConn's been a loss-win scenario. So back-to-back wins for the first time since the first two games of the year. And just to get people's excitement up more I was talking to Brian in the press box about Purdue's recent history with the Buckeyes. I'm sure you guys are familiar with it, but the last nine games, guys, Purdue's 4-5 against Ohio State. Could have easily beaten them a couple other times. The last time they were in Columbus, Al, was 2012. Purdue should have won that game.
Up 8 points.
2002 at home in the Craig Krenzel game. So my point is, Purdue has some whammy on these guys. Yes, Ohio State's very good. This is an Ohio State team that's still, I think, in a lot of ways, a work in progress, especially defensively.
Yeah,
I think that the way Purdue's playing on offense, and they have a chance to score some points and make it interesting. Again, still a long shot, but this isn't a juggernaut Ohio State team that you're just quaking your boots about. So there's more than a glimmer of hope. Who knows? But again, it's been an interesting series, and Purdue's had as much success against the Buckeyes than just about anybody in the Big Ten the last 10 or 15 years. It's crazy.
Yeah, I made the mistake of that game telling my kids, they were relatively young, you know, they had 8 points with 4 minutes to go. They're going to beat – Danny Hope's going to beat Ohio State and Urban Meyer in Ohio State. It didn't happen. So, but again, memorable day in Ross-Ade today, and one that I don't think Purdue fans will forget for a while, that 40-29 win over the fifth-ranked Michigan State. It's always more fun, no matter what, just more things to talk about when you have a game like this. And there are a lot of storylines that we'll be following here over the next week or so and for the rest of the season. So, gentlemen, have a good
– Isn't it kind of funny how history repeats itself? Like, this was very reminiscent of the 99 game.
Very much.
But this was also very reminiscent in terms of a flipped script from the 2000 game when Purdue went to – Purdue went to East Lansing with a Heisman candidate and got splattered.
30-10, yeah.
That knocked Breeze out of the Heisman – candidacy that almost cost them the Rose Bowl. Remember, they needed Northwestern to shock
Iowa
to still
or Iowa to the Rose Bowl.
And this was the exact opposite. This knocks Kenneth Walker out of the Heisman race, I'd imagine. This knocked Michigan State out of the college football playoff. Yeah. It is crazy how things kind of correlate to the past so often. That's why I reference the past so often. It's because it repeats itself so damn often.
Well, that's the great thing about this. This is why its memories are made, because if you're a Purdue fan and you're sitting in that stadium, you're going to hearken back to some of those games. And you had a magical day today and on an absolutely perfect fall afternoon. So it opens up a world of possibilities for Purdue for the rest of this 2021 season. Gentlemen, thanks as always. And we'll have a lot on the site on Sunday and all throughout this week. One thing we do know at Golden Black, when Purdue wins games like this, people like to read and pay attention to what's going on. And also, we got basketball this week. We got home games on Tuesday and Friday. Bellarmine at Tuesday and Indiana State, I guess, on Friday. And then Brian will be carting off. He's not going to be at Wrigley. He'll be carting off to watch Purdue play North Carolina and either Tennessee and Villanova 2 weeks from now for basketball. So I don't know. It'd be hard-pressed to have more excitement right now around Purdue's football and basketball programs, and that makes it fun for us. So, guys, have a great rest of the evening. Thanks so much, and we will see all of you next week on our Saturday simulcast after that Purdue-Ohio State game. We'll find out also that start time. By the time you watch this, it may be known, I suppose, about midnight on Saturday night. We'll know where they'll slot Purdue-Ohio State. So have a great rest of your day. Enjoy your Sunday, and we'll look forward to more next week on your Saturday simulcast.